This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 56, How to Photograph Smoke. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 56th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Parc Lafontaine in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. It's a gorgeous day today. It's beautiful. It's about 5 o'clock now. The light is unbelievable. I should be photographing, but I'm recording. And it's just so beautiful here. There's a gentle wind. There's some ducks that are making some noises, and I hope it's not too distracting. For today's podcast, we are going to talk about how to photograph smoke. And it was a suggestion by Clusty, a bulletin board member. Thanks so much. But before we get into the podcast, I'd like to thank Susan, who made a blog comment on our last podcast where we talked about actions and things like that. And she seemed to gain a lot of info from it. She thought she uses PSP X2 as opposed to Photoshop. And she thought that scripts, which is part of that program, is equivalent to actions. And I believe she's right. So even though I talked about actions, which are, you know, automatic processes that you can create that will help your photography, it's available in other programs as well, I gather. I don't know too many other programs, so I can really only talk a little bit about Photoshop. But if you investigate, you should be able to find some useful information. I know Susan did, so thanks so much. Also like to thank the following bulletin board members who posted a few times. They may have been lurkers, and they joined and they posted a few times. I always like to thank them. And since the last podcast, I'd like to thank Jay Lindy, Capture Evermore, MPK Callow, Lamar328, Photocell, EJC, CB Photo, and Jay Crystal. Thanks so much for posting on our forum. There's a lot of ways you can provide feedback, and they're all appreciated. What's been a bit lacking lately is actually comments directly in the blog. So if people want to actually comment directly in the blog, you have to register, but it's nothing. It takes 10 seconds. Your email address never shows. Never use it for anything. It's just really to validate the comment so that we know it didn't come from a spammer. But yeah, if you want to comment right in the blog, that would be greatly appreciated also. Just make your way to photography.ca/blog. Of course, you can also keep continuing to join the forum. The forum's getting busier. It makes me so happy. But you could also leave comments in the forum. Just make your way to the forums on photography.ca or just send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com. In terms of the forum, we have our assignment forum that's really going in full flow. A lot of people are joining up and doing the assignments, and they're finding them creative, and I'm finding their results creative. So I absolutely encourage people to join up and partake in the assignments. We have two main assignments every month, and now that the 15th of October has passed, our first assignment, Fall Photography, is gone. And now we're up to our second assignment, which is Halloween and Horror. There's already been a couple of posts. I think it was Travis that posted a really funky pumpkin wearing a mask. That was really cool. So I really do encourage people to join, post, get creative. You'll find inspiration when you look at the work of other people and see how other people interpret a set theme. We've also just started a new assignment. I think I just put that sucker up today, whereby we're going to be taking a member's image, and we're all going to try and improve it using the graphics program that we do. I know many people use Photoshop, many people use PSP X2, a lot of people use GIMP. It doesn't matter what you use. As long as you can improve the photograph in any way that you see fit, and you'll have to describe your technique a little bit because it's a learning forum, but I'm really looking forward to that. Photoshop is something that, you know, we're all learning. By no means am I an expert at it. I might even just consider myself an intermediate user. No better than that. It's such a complex program. The graphics programs can do so many things, and we can really learn, not just from Photoshop, but from really other programs too. A lot of the things that you can do in Photoshop, you can do in other programs. So I totally encourage people to, join the forum and see what you could do. See if you could teach us something or, learn from us. That's what we do. Learn and share. Okay, now on to today's podcast, and it comes courtesy of Clusty. Thanks so much for leaving this comment in our forum, or leaving the suggestion in our forum, rather. And the question goes like this. I was wondering if you had any ideas or experience about photographing smoke. This is going to be my next tryout, and I'd love to get all the help I can get. So, yep, I got a little bit of experience in this. Not loads, but I have some, and it's more than my pleasure to share. So here goes. First off, photographing smoke is hard. It's not an easy thing to do. So you're going to want to devote some time to photographing smoke. It's not going to take 5 minutes unless you're super, super lucky. It takes a while. It takes a lot of practice. Luckily, most of us are shooting digital, so the film is free. There's no cost to it. We could just shoot, look at our results, and try and improve them. But it does take a while, and it's not the easiest setup, but it's a fun thing to do. It's really creative, and I'm really happy that Kolesny made this suggestion. So most people, when they photograph smoke, they photograph exclusively indoors. And that's probably better. It's probably safer. You can photograph outdoors with smoke, but you really want to be careful. You don't want to be starting fires. God forbid anything catches fire because you were trying to take a picture. That's just so horrendous. So if you're going to try and make some smoke outdoors, for the love of goodness, please, please, please be extra safe. But you can take some really cool photographs outdoors using smoke. You just have to really contain it properly. If you make your way to the show notes for this podcast number 56, you're going to see a bunch of photos that include smoke. And one of them is a photo that I took some years back. And it's a photo of a monk bathed in smoke, actually. There were other monks that were burning garbage when I took the photograph. And this small area totally filled with smoke. And once the light hit the smoke, all the magic happened. So it's really, really, really quite an interesting photograph. I've gotten loads of compliments on it. So if you want to check it out and see what I'm talking about, just make your way to the show notes on podcast number 56. But in terms of shooting outside, you're going to want to have light hit the smoke, either with your flash or with the sunlight, and it really gives a cool effect. I think you'll kind of get more information when I talk about how to do it indoors, just because it's so much easier, and then you can apply it outdoors. But I do encourage you, you know, if smoke is around outside and the lighting is right, and you'll see it, you'll just see shafts of light wafting through the smoke, and it's such a cool effect, so cool. So I do recommend that you do it or you try it, but with 100% safety. I'm such a nature lover that if I ever heard of an accident that happened because of this, I would feel so terrible. So please, please, please be extra careful. Okay, let's go. Let's talk about it now. So first off, you know, how do you create the smoke? And you can create the smoke in a lot of different ways. You can burn paper, you can burn candles if you're doing it indoors, let's say. But what a lot of people have done, and all you have to do is do a quick search on the internet, you are going to find a lot of beautiful pictures that people have created by using incense. Incense is a really great way to photograph smoke because it's safe. It's relatively safe. You know, if you keep those long incense sticks, or you could use incense in the shape of a cone. It comes in a sensor, and it just lights and wafts the smoke so beautifully. It's a really safe thing to do, and I recommend you try it. I recommend you try and play using incense sticks. I'm actually going to try and create a shot for this podcast if I have a chance. If not, I'll borrow someone else's good pick. But I totally recommend you play with incense because it's such a fun thing to try, and it's so safe. So let's just start off with the basics. So smoke, let's say it comes from an incense stick or what have you, it's basically light colored. It's a light gray color. So that color is going to show up better against the dark background. So my first tip is if you're going to photograph smoke, photograph it against the dark background. Even if you're doing this outdoors, try and make sure you have some trees or some type of background that's going to contrast with the smoke, or else you're not going to see it really well. So that's my first tip. Use a dark background and you're going to have more success. So what you want to do is you want to photograph the smoke. Let's say it's indoors just because it's easier. So you want to focus the smoke against the black background. And the best way to do this is you're going to have your background. You're going to have your smoke in between your background and your camera. And then you're going to have to light the smoke. So how do you light the smoke? If you're indoors, you can use continuous light sources or you can use flash light sources. I recommend flash light sources just because, and I don't mean a flashlight, I mean flash like strobe or portable on-camera flash. That's what I'm talking about. You're going to want to use that because the power that those lights offer is superior to, let's say, household bulbs. Even if you get like a 200 watt bulb or a 500 watt bulb, you may well find that that's not strong enough. So most people have portable flashes, many people do, and some of us have studio flashes. I recommend you start with that. If you can find like a 1000 watt bulb and you have the apparatus to shine it, you know, go ahead, try it. But it's going to be easier with flash or strobe over a continuous light source. in my estimation. If you're listening to this now and you've done it with a continuous light source and you got great results and you want to prove me wrong, I invite you to prove me wrong. I want you to prove me wrong. I want you to prove me wrong because that's how we all learn. But anyway, in my estimation, flash is going to be better than a continuous light source. And you're going to want to light the smoke from behind or from the side. Those are going to be two easier ways to light the smoke. Because keep in mind, the background is behind the smoke. So if you try and light the smoke from the front, some of that light is going to hit the background and it's going to take away from the contrast that the smoke is going to create against that black background. So I recommend trying it with side light or 45 degrees behind or backlighting, but really not necessarily front lighting, you know, or Rembrandt lighting, things like that, because you're likely to get spill on the background and, you know, it's going to wreck your contrast. Little dog break here. Little dog came to say hi to me. Little Duger. And again, speaking about keeping the light off the background, one of the things that's going to help is like ways to control the spread of the light. And two common ways are barn doors and, let's say, snoots. And a snoot is just an apparatus that you can put on your studio lights, or you can create one and put it on your portable flash. Or you can just buy one, they're for sale too. And basically they help control the spread of the light because you don't want the light going everywhere. You just want the light to hit the smoke. And that's where the trickery comes in. That's where the work comes in, because you're gonna have to do a little bit of maneuvering in order to get the light just right. Another thing you're gonna have to do is you're gonna have to figure out a way to fire the strobe or the flash. And we've talked about this in the past. If you're using, you know, some type of strobe kit, you'll likely need either a wire or some type of infrared or a radio wave trigger in order to trigger the flash, because you're going to want to keep the flash off camera. So if you're using a portable flash that usually goes in the hot shoe, you're going to want to take that off your camera. You're going to want to put it beside the smoke or behind the smoke, and you're going to need a way to fire it. So you need to keep that in mind as well. Luckily, a wire that goes from your camera to your flash is not expensive, or a wire that goes from your studio heads to your flash is not that expensive. You want to make sure everything is compatible. You know, you don't want to be using old wires that were used for film cameras and then you might screw up the voltage. You want to just make sure everything is compatible. So just do a test before, if you haven't done a test to make sure your equipment is compatible, make sure you find out first. So if you have a flash that's really, really old, make sure that that flash is capable of working with your camera and not destroying it. That's my caveat. Make sure. Another great thing you could do is you could use gels. And a gel is just like, you know, it's a piece of plastic and it goes over the portable flash or over your strobe head and it changes the color. So when you're lighting the smoke, it's typically, you know, light gray. You can make that smoke any color if you use gels. I know Lee and Roscoe, I think they both offer sample packs of little strips of gels. You know, they just have it as a sample, but you could actually use that little strip and you can put it over your portable flash, shine it on the smoke, and that way you have colored light coming in. Yes, of course, you could do the same thing in a program like GIMP or Photoshop, but as I always recommend, do it in camera. You know, it's so much easier if you do it in camera and you can see the effects right away. Usually these sample packs are free. If I had extras, I'd give them away. I have one and it's great for experimentation. It usually comes, I don't know, they have like maybe 100 or 150 of these little samples in those packs. So hunt them down if you can. Another tip, it's going to be better if you're doing it indoors to do it in still air. If you have air conditioning going, if you have heating going, if you have a fan going, if you have your window open, if you're a heavy breather, try and control your breathing, because the extraneous air in the environment is going to make the smoke waft. And you'll likely get better pictures if the air in the room is stiller and the smoke doesn't move that much. Once you've gotten a few shots, and especially if you're using like an incense stick or something like this, you know, you can move the incense stick during the exposure for some cool effects as well. But, you know, start off just with as still air as possible and see what you get. The smoke just naturally moves in really cool, ethereal, mystical ways. The shots you get are generally really, really, really cool and creative. So it really gets your creative juices going. Another thing I wanted to mention is the shutter speed. Basically, you want to freeze the smoke. So yes, although you can play with shutter effects by using slower exposures, like, you know, a 15th of a second, an eighth, a 1 second, it might not be as effective as using a faster shutter speed. You know, you'll try this out for yourself, but start with a faster one. Start with a shutter speed of like 1 over 125 or 1 over 250, and you'll likely really freeze the smoke well. And the fact that you need to freeze with a faster shutter speed is yet another reason why it's better to use a portable flash or a studio flash, just because they offer more power and they can offer the quantity of light needed to freeze it. So start with a faster shutter speed and keep that in mind, and then, you know, do whatever you want. Play, go slow. I mentioned you can also play with the color in post-processing. That's true. And you can also invert the background in post-processing, which is also a fun thing to do. So it's much easier to shoot this on a dark background, but if you're shooting digitally and you've already captured it on a black background, you can easily invert the tones of the shot, you know, just with a simple command, depending on what program you're using, and that often has a really cool effect. You may need to clone or repair certain imperfections in the image, but by inverting the image, you're likely to get some really cool results as well. And although for the past few minutes we've been talking about incense just because it's easier to control, I mean, don't stop at incense. Get creative, and you could try other things as well. You can try cigarette smoke. You can try liquid nitrogen. Oh, yes, I have tried liquid nitrogen, and it is a very, very cool material to work with. You have to work with it carefully. It's not dirt cheap. I think a couple of years ago, I paid somewhere about 40 or 50 Canadian dollars for a batch that lasted me quite a while to do some experimentation with. You have to be really careful. You want to wear gloves, and you want to follow the instructions. You want to ask the person that sells it to you how to handle it, because liquid nitrogen is cold stuff and it can burn your flesh if it touches your flesh. It's not so difficult to handle carefully, but you have to be super careful when you handle it. You can get amazing results because the quality of that smoke is vastly different from the quality of smoke that incense produces. Smoke from liquid nitrogen is thick, it's heavy, and it hangs low to the floor. So, you know, you could, you know, fill up a pot with it, or I actually used it with a photograph of my wife, actually. I wanted to create a pseudo horror shot. I wanted her to appear like she was coming from the smoke. So I bought this thick liquid nitrogen, and it does. It produces really thick smoke, and I'm going to try and hunt down that photograph so I could post it. There's other materials as well, you know, burn whatever you want. I think most guys are pyromaniacs at heart, and some girls too. Again, my only warning is that you really want to be safe. So, you know, you don't want to hurt anyone. You don't want to hurt yourself. This is photography. This is art. This is fun. This is play. And you really want to take safety seriously. And finally, I just want to end by saying that you really need to be patient again, because it's hard. This is hard to do. It's hard to do well. You might get lucky, but it's hard to do. But it's so much fun that I dare say you're going to have a lot of fun doing it. And you're going to learn a lot from it as well. You'll learn about the direction of light. You'll learn how light lights smoke. You'll be able to use this information for the future when you need an effect of some kind, or you want to do something creative. You can use this. You can learn from it. That's the goal here. Every podcast, you know, I try and do my best, give a little tip here and there, but my hope is that people take that with them and store it in their brains, so that one day when they want that effect, they're like, oh yeah, I heard about that. And then you just add it to your arsenal, and that's how we grow. Okay, everyone, that's going to do it for me for today. It's getting a bit cooler now. Sun's going down, and I probably got about good 20 minutes of shooting left, so I'm going to shoot for about 20 more minutes. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. More podcasts are on the way. There's a list in the forum. There's a good 3 or 4 week wait now if you want to suggest something, just because so many podcast suggestions have been coming in, and I'm so appreciative. Just, I can really only do one of these a week, or one every 8 or 9 days. So if you have suggested in the past, just be patient. I will get to it. And if you're not pressed, just send me more suggestions. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. As always, get out there, shoot the fall colors. You could join in the forum and try following one of our assignments if you're blocked. It really does sharpen your mind and get your creative juices going when someone else thinks of the theme for you. And all you have to do is come up with a creative way to render that theme or thought. So whatever you do, thanks so much, and as always, keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone.